number three. We're going to continue walking through the ways that the way Scripture reveals the ways of God and some of the things that we see concerning God in the Scripture. Last Wednesday night, we looked at God's forgiveness and we looked at God's way is faith. And so tonight we're going to start with God's way is holy. You know, we hear that word a lot, holy. And, you know, a lot of times when you think of the word holy and you ask somebody to define the word holy, some folks have a difficult time defining the word holy. Holy is not running up and down aisles and jumping and hopping and hooping and hollering and all those things. That is not holy. We're going to go through and look at a scripture and look at a definition of holy and how holiness applies to us. And the way that we should live our lives each and every day. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, of course, we have the account of Moses. When Moses is called and God is working now with Moses to prepare Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And of course, Moses has been on the backside of the desert keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And who was Jethro. And while he is there, Moses sees a bush burning. And as he watches the bush that is burning, he notices that it is not being consumed while it's burning. And all of a sudden, of course, the Lord speaks to Moses out of the bush and said to him and called him by name. And he called him twice, Moses, Moses. And of course, Moses responded with, "Here I am." And then you come to verse number 5, and this is interesting. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither." In other words, don't come any closer. He said, "Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." It's holy ground. And then verse 6, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So, what is holiness, or what is holy? If you want to jot this down in some notes or by this passage of Scripture, let me give it to you. God's presence defines what is holy. I mean, that's how holy is defined, by the presence of God. God's presence is what defines holy. Anywhere God is present is sacred, it's set apart, and it's holy. So when you think about holiness, when you think about holy, God's presence defines what is holy. Matter of fact, the word holy here in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 3 actually comes from the Hebrew word godes. And that word godes actually means apartness. It means sacredness. It means pertaining to being unique. And so when you look at this very spot here, and I want you to understand this, the ground was not holy by its nature. It was holy because of the Lord's presence. And so when you think about the word holy, it had nothing to do with the ground. It's just like this building is just a building. But when God's presence is here, it's a holy place. Okay? When you think about that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, another very familiar passage of Scripture. When Isaiah the prophet went to the temple and what he witnessed there at the temple. And it's interesting when we see the use of the word holy here. And there's some neat things here in this passage that I want you to see. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And you'll notice the repetition of the word holy there three times. It's interesting when you think about that. The repetition of the word holy there suggests supreme or complete. And there is no God like God. There is no God as God. Never has been, never will be. God is holy in all that He is. And matter of fact, there's a different Hebrew word here. As a matter of fact, it's a different, has a different ending to it. So it makes it a little bit different. It actually comes from the Hebrew word hodos. And the word hodos actually means sacred. It means awesome, or it means respect. So when you look at this, you see the three words, holy, 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 all the same Hebrew word, okay? Hodos, which means sacred. It means awesome. It means respect for who He was and for who God was. So when you think about that in the Old Testament, the word holy, and so what does it pertain to us? In other words, so what does it mean to me? I mean, what does it mean to me as a Christian living today? Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, and we'll see what relevance it has to us even today, because this will paint, I think, a great picture for us of where we should be. God's way is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 and verse 16. And notice in verse 15 it says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation." Verse 16, in other words, in our walk. Verse 16, "Because it is written." And what he's doing is he's going back to the Old Testament. Okay, "because it is written." Actually, he goes back to the Leviticus, to the book of Leviticus. And I want you to notice what Peter shares with him. "Because it is written, be you holy." Why? "Because I'm holy." Well, how in the world can we be holy? What does holiness have to do with us today? Let me say this, what Peter is talking about. This is not a legal requirement here. It has absolutely nothing to do with any legal requirement of any legalistic nature here of what we must be. But it's a reminder, okay, to us as a Christian, our responsibility in our inner life and our outer walk to be holy. Well, how in the world can we do that? So when you think about that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul made a statement concerning our lives and who we are. And so when you think about that, here's what he said. He said, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" Okay? It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you think about your life, here's one of the things that I think we need to understand here when we think about God's way is holy. Be you holy because I'm holy. So how do we live a holy life? Understanding that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So everywhere we go, everything we do, every thought we have, every action we take, you take the Holy Spirit with you. Take Him with you. Have you ever thought about that? So in all manner of conversation, in other words, in all manner of our daily activity and our daily walk, we ought to be holy. In other words, that word holy means a separateness. Sanctification is another word that is used in the Scripture to refer to what Peter is talking about here. Matter of fact, sanctification comes from the same root, from the same Greek root word here, where we get the word holy from. It all means the same, sanctification, set apart, okay? To be holy. In other words, to be different in the life that we live. In all manner of our conversation, in everything that we do, in our conversation, in our walk, both inner and outward, okay? We should be different in the way that we are. So when you think about God's way is holy, the Scripture talks a lot about that as you go through and look at it. So where we are today in our lives, how many of us, as a matter of fact, and here's one of the things I want you to understand, as I've gone through each of these ways of God, I've spent I've spent hours on each one of these. And I'm going to tell you something. I've had to look at my own life. And here's the tough thing about it is what you're getting tonight, this is my second go-around through it, or third, okay? And it's convicting to my own heart because you think about your life every day and the way you live your life every day. Do we live a life that is holy and pleasing to the Lord? The next way that we see, or the next way of God, is God's way is truth. And we talked a little bit about this past Sunday morning. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 4. How many of y'all think about holiness very often in your life? Do many of you think about that holiness, living a holy life? How many of y'all have ever really kind of put that together in what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be you holy for I am holy"? Have you ever wondered how in the world you do that? Huh? Sure. Let me tell you what it has to do. It has to do with that set apart. It's that separateness. It's that sanctification. And let me say this about that. It's a process. It's a growing process. And it's one as you live your life and your relationship with God becomes, and it grows and you grow in your relationship with God, that holiness should grow in your life. And it should be seen as you live closer to the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. God's way is truth. And it's interesting when you think about this. If you look at verse number 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all of His ways are judgment. A God of what? Truth. And without iniquity, just and right is He. He's a God of truth. That's who He is. Let's go to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 4. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth. You see that? Let me ask you a question. Can there be absolute truth today? Sure. Is the Word of God absolute truth? Sure it is. It is absolute truth. That's what the Word of God is. It is absolute truth. God is absolute. Okay? That's who He is. Let's go to just stay in Psalm. Go to chapter 100 in verse number 5. Psalm 100 in verse number 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to what? To all generations, every one of them. So let me ask you a question. Is the Bible as relevant today as it was when it was written? Sure it is. Why? Notice verse 5, His truth endureth to all generations. So it's just as relevant to us today as it was the day it was written. There's not any difference when you look at it. But when it comes to the truth, you know, I have a lot of people ask me, say, well, preacher, how do you know the truth? I mean, how can you know the truth? If you're a born again child of God, a lot of people say, you know, I read the Bible and I just have a hard time getting my hands around it. Keep reading it. Just keep reading it. Okay? Matter of fact, a lot of people ask me, well, where's a good place to start reading my Bible on a daily basis? If I wanted to start tomorrow reading my Bible, where would you recommend that I start reading it so I'd read it on a daily basis? I'd start in the book of John. Read the book of John. Start with John 1. Read the Proverbs. Have you ever noticed there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs? 31 days in a month. Chapter of Proverbs a day helps keep the devil away. Okay? Like an apple a day keeps the, oh, I, keeps the doctor away. Okay? So when you think about that, there are places in the Scripture, but how do you know the truth? I mean, when you read the Scripture, well, let me share this with you. If you're a born-again child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. And did you know the Holy Spirit does something for us? And matter of fact, let me say this. I don't have a corner on the Bible. I don't have a corner on the Scripture. Okay? Are you ready for this? I have the same teacher you have. And guess who that is? The Holy Spirit of God. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? But it's available to all. Well, how do we know that? Turn with me to John chapter 16 in the New Testament. John chapter 16. And let me say this. Reading and studying the Word is work. Have to work at it. How many of y'all just kind of get, you kind of start reading and it's just like, how many of y'all have ever read through the genealogies in 1 Chronicles? Huh? How many of y'all struggle with having a daily time of reading and studying the Bible? I mean, do you? How many of y'all, just for sake of time sometimes, and you just don't have the time to get into it? Let me share something with you, okay? Here's a good way to help you, all right? When you get up in the morning, how many of y'all eat breakfast in the morning? If you eat breakfast, raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. How many of y'all eat breakfast in the morning? How many of y'all sit at the dining room table to eat breakfast? How many of y'all go through a drive-thru window? Sandy, I don't think I can help you with that. All right, how many of y'all eat at the bar? Okay.
Which one?
Only you would have asked that question. No. All right, I'm gonna give you a little hint, okay? If you're in a fast food restaurant, take your little New Testament with you, just pull it out while you're eating and just read through a couple of verses. While you sit down to eat breakfast in the morning before you ever leave out of the house. How many of y'all would leave out of the house without eating? Boy, y'all just don't help out at all, do you? How many of y'all eat at least once a day? How many of y'all go 2 or 3 days and never eat? Why would we go 2 or 3 days and never eat the Word? See, our spiritual life, you only grow spiritually by how much you feed the Spirit. And how do you feed the Spirit? It's there. That's how the Spirit is fed. And I love it today because they make it real convenient. I don't have mine on right now, but I have my Bible and some other things on my phone. Sitting in traffic, pull it out. And you can read some. How many of y'all sit in traffic? How many of y'all are going to say, now, preacher, you shouldn't be on your cell phone in traffic? Put your hands down. You're sitting still. Okay? You're not going anywhere. I put it down when we start moving. Getting warm up here. John chapter 16, notice verse 13. I want you to notice what it says. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of what is come? He will what? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So who's our teacher? The Holy Spirit of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. Isn't it great having the Holy Spirit as the teacher? Okay? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God breathed through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So what better teacher to have than the Holy Spirit of God? Amen? And so what you got to do is you got to feed the Spirit. Okay? So God's way is truth. The next one, God has kingdom ways. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. God has kingdom ways. Matter of fact, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, known as the Sermon on the Mount, is all about the kingdom. I mean, it's kingdom focused. Okay, everything that we do as a church ought to be kingdom focused. Okay, everything we do ought to be focused on the kingdom. Okay, and let me say this: and the kingdom's not Ascension Baptist Church. Okay, it's about the kingdom of which we're a small part of. Okay, of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 1, and then we're going to kind of drop down, okay? And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and then when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying. Now I want you to notice what he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes all the way through these. And let me tell you what he's doing, all the way through here, okay? All the way through the book of Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, he's talking about the kingdom and all of the things that pertain to the kingdom. Okay, look at chapter 6 and verse 33. Look at chapter 6 and verse 33. And now I want you to notice what Jesus says. This is kind of shocking. But seek you first the world. Is that what yours says? But seek ye first the kingdom of who? Of God. And His righteousness. And then all of these things shall what? Be added unto you. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay therefore up treasures that will have eternal ramifications. Okay? In heaven. Verse 21 of chapter 6, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And let me tell you something. Everything in chapters 5, 6, and 7 that Jesus spoke about cut absolutely against the grain of the way the world teaches. Okay? Every bit of it. Chapter 7. When you look at chapter 7 and all the things that Jesus taught in chapter 7, you get down to where he deals with the way, the straight gate, the wide gate, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Talks about the good tree that bringeth forth good fruit. He went through all of those, talking about the kingdom, spending time talking about the kingdom. And it's all about the kingdom. And I don't understand today why our focus seems to be so inwardly that we've lost sight of the kingdom. I mean, Jesus spoke about the kingdom all throughout. Matter of fact, there are chapters in the Gospels that are what we call kingdom chapters because that's all he deals with is parables about the kingdom of God and all of those. And then finally tonight, God's way is life. And we see that in the Scripture. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. God's way is life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and verse 20. As Moses is sharing with the children of Israel, things that are coming. Verse 19 and verse 20 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose what? Life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God is life. It's not death. He's life. That's what he is. When Jesus went to Mary and Martha, when Lazarus died, matter of fact, in his conversation with them, matter of fact, he looked at Martha and he said, do you believe in the resurrection? Of course, she answered Jesus and said, sure, in the last days. And Jesus looked at her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's who I am. So all of life is found in Christ. You know, when we share that with people, you know, matter of fact, we were out some this week. We were up at the hospital on Monday, and we were up there at Baton Rouge General, and you know, and you see in all of those things that are there, and we were talking, and Raymond was relaying a story of an individual that had passed away, and as far as they know, he was not saved. He was not born again. And he said, you just don't understand how difficult those times are when you're with somebody that is not born again. And I said, oh yeah, I do. That is some of the most difficult funeral services you'll ever sit through or be a part of, or to have to do for that matter. And when you think about those and you think about life, you know, one of the joyful things, and it's a sad occasion because we're going to miss them, but you know, when a saint of God goes home to be with the Lord, okay, it's a different time because it's a celebration time. Why? They're not dead. Their earthly tabernacle is, but they're alive, okay? Matter of fact, they're more alive then than they are now, okay? Why? Because they're in the presence of life itself. They're in the presence of the Lord who gives life. And so, you know, that celebration, as we look at our lives today, we ought to look at that time, and we ought to look at that. As we come down to the end of our life, that's the portal to move on into the abundant life. And our redemption will be complete when that day comes in our life. And we ought to live to that every day. People ought to tell, you know, when they look at us, they ought to be able to tell, you know, he's got a smile on his face with all this junk that's going around. You know, you turn on the news. I don't know about you. Boy, I turned on the news the other night. I almost went postal. I had to turn the stuff off because I just could not believe it. And I will tell you something. I shared this with the deacons last night. I said, our country's in trouble. You can mark it down. I said, putting this pill now out on the market over the counter and then wanting not to have any age limit at all. I want to tell you something. We're in a sad state of affairs tonight. But God is life. And in Him is found life. Let's go to John chapter 10 and verse number 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Can't remember or not, but I think I might have shared this Sunday morning as we were looking at the message Sunday morning. The thief cometh not but for to kill or to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. Not to steal, not to kill, not to destroy, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. What? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? To repentance or to life. When you think about God and you think about the ways of God, God's forgiveness, God's way is faith, God's way is holy, God's way is truth, God has kingdom ways, God's way is life. So we think about all of that in our life today. Let me ask you a question. What substitutes do people choose for the ways of God? Do we? I think we all do sometimes. How many of us kind of get caught up in the rat race of everyday life and we just kind of sometimes lose sight of these things? Okay? I think sometimes we just need to go back and we need to kind of remember those. Okay? Those are God's ways. And heaven knows the world today needs a light and it needs the salt of God's people for us to be the way that we should be. So every day to walk in the ways of God, forgiving, loving, holy, true, focusing on the kingdom, and sharing life with all of those that we come in contact with. I mean, we have the truth. It's like Paul said, if our gospel be hid, who are we hidden from? But those that are lost. And we need to share the truth of the gospel and the love of Christ. But I'll tell you something, they ought to see it in our lives every day as well. Amen? Amen. All righty. That's part one of the ways of God, okay? So that's part one of chapter one, okay? I'll tell you something, this is tremendous, because I'll tell you what it does. It really gets you to focus on God. And I'll tell you what, I think that's where the church really needs to turn our focus back to today, is to the ways of God. Amen? Anybody got any comments?